Good morning, church. Good morning. I invite you to join with us in singing this morning. We'll start with My Soul Cries Out, which is number 100 in your purple hymnal, or you can look at the chorus lyrics in your bulletin, but please join in singing and worship with us this morning. Join with me, Brent, Barb, Elizabeth, Ken, and Ben this morning. Let's sing together.
Justice burn, wipe away all tears. Dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Oh, I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, and through those who would for you yearn, show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone shall be left on stone. Let the king be aware, for his justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more for the food they could never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near. The nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod shall be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears.
There it is. There it is. Good morning. Welcome to the service of worship. It's good to see you this morning. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she and her. I'm glad to be here with you. And what a wonderful song to open up our time together. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near. And the world is about to turn. Amen. We're here in the season of Advent, and we're here to worship, to reorient ourselves, our minds, to the ways of God, to the way of the Prince of Peace. And so I welcome each of you. If you are new or visiting for the first time, we're glad you're here. Thank you for taking the step into this new space. If you're here for the first time, we would also love for you to fill out a visitor card. So in front of you in your pews are visitor cards. You can, they look like that, what Lucinda's holding up. You can fill it out by hand. You can also turn it around, and there's a QR code. You can fill it out online. For those of you who may be visiting with us on Zoom, we'll also put that visitor card in the chat so you can fill that out. We would love to connect with you further, and we're so glad you're here. I wanted to lift up just a few announcements for us, particularly those that are not explicit in the bulletin. First of all, I wanted to welcome Taylor Silvestri this morning to the pulpit. Taylor will be preaching. I know many of you know Taylor. Some of you who are perhaps newer don't know Taylor. But Taylor is a seminarian and is at Princeton Theological Seminary and is in the inquiry process, wanting to move to ordination. At least that's the time of inquiry. That's the hope, right? Is doing their internship at Fox Chase Presbyterian. So we don't see Taylor as often as we would like, but we're really gifted that it's a great gift that we could steal you away for this Sunday to preach for us. So welcome. We're really looking forward to hearing the Spirit speak through you. Also wanted to lift up that this Tuesday evening, we'll have an opportunity to gather for some Advent prayer, reflection, discussion time. It'll be on Zoom and just on Zoom, so we won't be meeting in person. But if you'd like some time of quiet just to gather in community for conversation, sharing, and prayer, please feel welcome to join. We'll send out the link via our listserv. So let us know if you're not on the listserv, we'll get you on. Also wanted to give thanks that today our new childcare provider is starting. Her name is Prosie Pallad. She's downstairs. Todd is working with her this morning. We're really grateful for Prosie being with us. If you have a chance to meet her and welcome her, that would be great. And we're really, really excited about her joining our staff team. So today's her first day. Also wanted to let you know, if you don't know already, next Sunday is Christmas Eve. We will not have a morning service, so please don't come at 10 a.m. next Sunday, but please come at 6 p.m. Join us for our evening service together. We would love to have you here. It'll be a candlelight service and a really beautiful time together. So that is next Sunday, not at 10, but at 6. Finally, I wanted to lift up another opportunity to engage, but I also just want to speak from my heart for just a moment. I know that we are carrying heavy loads this season and particularly are aware of the horrible violence, the killing that is happening in Gaza, and the thousands and thousands of Palestinians who have lost their lives, many children included. And I know that if, like me, you're probably carrying that around with you in many places and are thinking and praying as you keep them in your thoughts and prayers. I wanted to just name that as a reality as we're in this season of Advent, and we're talking about the actual places of Bethlehem and the location of Jesus's birth. This is all really deep and heavy as we're doing that. And I think what I want to say is that there's a complexity here in that we're also hearing at the same time that there has been an unleashing, really, of anti-Semitic threats and attacks really all around the world, but also including in the U.S. as a kind of scapegoating Jews for the actions of the Israeli government. And that is also real. So we have a lot of Jewish siblings who are really suffering and under attack right now. And that is also real, and I'm just holding that in prayer and in this space as well. To that, I wanna invite us, I know that there are, in addition to us holding these prayers here, there are lots of opportunities to stand in and make your voice known. Particularly for an end to the killing of Palestinians. And I wanted to invite you to join me if you would like. or can. I know folks who are working, it may be a difficult time to get away. But this Tuesday at 4 o'clock on 20th and Market, there is going to be a protest for calling for a ceasefire. It's organized by Mennonites, so it'll be our Mennonite siblings are organizing. So a lot of the songs, prayers will be from the Christian tradition, but it is a interfaith and interdenominational event. So everyone is welcome to join in that. It's also family friendly. There will not be folks will not be risking arrest. So we're going to be there to ask. Shapiro, thank you, for a ceasefire. And so there will be some singing, some prayers. I think there's a hope of delivering a giant Christmas card as well. So if you can join us, we would love, I would love for you to be there. Let me know if you plan to come so we can be there together. Again, that's at 4 o'clock this coming Tuesday. And I would also invite, if others have other actions, events you'd like to invite us to, please share that with us so that we can join with one another as we're praying and standing together against the war. So I wanted to share that with you. And as we're reorienting ourselves this morning, and we're following and celebrating the Prince of Peace who came to break down barriers of enmity and hatred. And this is that's what we're about, and that's the one we're following. So let's take some time now to center ourselves. I'm going to ring out the prayer bowl. We'll light the two candles, and let's worship God. Would you join me now? Let's rise in body or in spirit for the call to worship. Who are the brokenhearted in this world? Who are the brokenhearted in our city?
Who are the captives far away? Who are the captives at our doorstep?
The brokenhearted, the captives live in darkness. We think we live in light, but darkness is so near. God, who created light, show us how to make light in this dim world. Let us not keep it for ourselves. Show us how to spread light to the darkest places, even if those dark places are in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to join me in singing Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 136 in your purple hymnal, or with the words that you have in front of you. And I invite you to clap, if that feels right to you, to dance, to sing, to meditate, whatever feels right to you this morning. We are in Advent, in the period of waiting, but let's look ahead to Christmas morning for just a moment and think about the joy of sharing the good news. Let's sing together.
Kind of a hearty, aromatic vegetable.
Go tell it.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Sing it one more time.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Shepherds candle watching, our silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a
shepherds feared and trembled, while low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is born.
Amen.
Today we'll light the next candle in our Advent wreath. When are you coming, God? When I am asleep or while at work? Where will we find you? So far from where we are or right beside us? How will you come? In some form we cannot recognize or in something familiar to us? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Please join me in the prayer for lighting the candle of the shepherds in your bulletin. Great shepherd of the sheep, amidst the darkness, your voice can be heard. Attune us to hear your voice. Help us to savor and share what we have heard. Amen. And now please join me in the prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. God, we go through our days distracted by small things. We go through the week mourning or forgetting those who mourn. We give in to despair, forgetting that we have promised to end our grief. We pretend that the harm is someone else's doing. We forget how often we have created harm by failing to hear God's promises. You promise that ruined places will grow again. You promise that seeds will grow in the desert. That desert is in our minds and in our spirits. Push us into making that desert bloom. Pull us into restoring our land and ourselves. Hear these words of assurance. The God who created healing in the world will not leave us in our hurt. The God who has freed prisoners forever will show us how to free ourselves. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you now to rise in body or in spirit to sing our song of praise together. Jesus, Jesus, what a wonderful child.
If you're on Zoom, you can unmute and pass the peace.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. We hear a lot from Isaiah during Advent. And this morning we're reading from chapter 61, the first verses, and then we'll skip to verse 8 through 11. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it's on page 650, about right in the middle of your Bible. Let's hear these words from the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display God's glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing, and I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its shoots and as a garden causes what is sown in to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Now is the time in our service for children's time, so please sing with me.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Oh, good morning. My name is Pauline, and my pronouns are she and her. Hello. I'm going to share two famous Christmas stories this morning. They're both short, so. One is about the shepherds, because we lit the shepherd's candle this morning. You lit the shepherd's candle. You did a great job doing that. And the reason we call it the shepherd's candle is because in the part of the Bible we are reading this morning by Luke, he talks about how God, through an angel, told the shepherds that Christ was born. So of all the people in the world that God could choose to tell this exciting thing, God chose shepherds who were sleeping out in the fields with their sheep to tell them that the baby had just been born that morning. And they believed the angel, even though it's this incredible story, and decided to go see Christ for themselves, hello, in the manger. And so they walked over and saw that Christ had been born in the manger and went and told the good news. So there were no gifts in this story. There were no presents. It was, the gift was Christ's birth. And the story is really telling because, again, it was God deciding to pick someone who wasn't really powerful. It was a group of people who were taking care of God's creation, God's sheep and each other, and told them about this, and they went and shared the good news. Later, the magi, who were more powerful, did get told as well, and they did bring some gifts, but that wasn't the start. The start was with the shepherds without the gifts. So that's the first story. The second story, also a very, very famous story, is the story of the Grinch that stole Christmas. Do any of you guys know that, or all of you know that story? Yeah? Yes, yes. It's a great story. I love it. I never get tired of it. And the reason I thought to mention that story is because, as you'll remember, as the Grinch didn't like all these happy people, because he's a Grinch, doesn't like happy people. And so he thought if he took all their presents and all their Christmas trees and all their lights and even their food, then he would take Christmas away and it would end Christmas. And then, as you know, since you know the story, they all woke up and saw that everything was missing, and they still all came together and sang their happy songs. And that, to me, is also one of the reasons it's such a great story, is because it's a reminder that Christmas is really not about the gifts. Christmas, the gifts are really a sign of our love. The Christmas is about love, and specifically God's love for all of us, and God calling for us to love each other and all of God's creation and take care of each other. And so when we do give gifts, it's important to remember that they're just a sign of our love for each other, right? That the love is what Christmas is about, and the presents are just a sign of it, a symbol of it. But just remember that that's what Christmas is all about. So let's say a prayer. God, thank you for sending Jesus, for Jesus' birth. Help us to remember what the spirit of Christmas is all about. It's about your love and your call for us to love each other and for us to share that love to bring peace and justice on this world and forever. Amen.
I invite you to turn to number 129 in your purple hymnal, number 129, or to look in your bulletin as we sing "Lo, How Roses Are Blooming," a German carol. Let's sing together.
My name is Taylor. My pronouns are they, them. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. Let's turn now to hear God's word for us from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Listen now for God's word this morning. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. See, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. So, as Katie said, we are coming here today, maybe feeling the heaviness of everything that goes on around us. So I just want us to take a couple of centering breaths together. And I also want to invite you into a space of care to take care of yourselves during this time, however that care looks for you. So just breathe with me for a minute. Please pray with me. God with us, thank you for the mercy of another morning. Thank you for the opportunity to learn that we can do hard things and that we can do them together, that we have to do them together. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of transparency, I should say how hard this sermon has been for me. It's been hard and is hard for plenty of obvious reasons. First, there's a global reason. Bloodlines that have been in Palestine since the birth of Jesus are being murdered so that empire's operation of colonial genocidal proportions can succeed. An empire hell-bent on making its colonial project and the war crimes of its military somehow synonymous with Judaism, which, to be very clear, Jewish folks around the world have said that is distinctly not the case. As this empire expands, it does so with the backing of the vicious might of the United States war machine, made possible in part by our tax dollars. The dream of this colonial genocidal project is to flatten Palestine and decimate its population so that the state can be built so it can raise houses up on grass fertilized by the bodies of those it's slain. You can act like it's nuanced all you want. You can feign complications all you want. But just because a story has a lot of details and a 75-year history does not then mean the matter at hand is morally ambiguous or ethically complicated. Make no mistake. It's the third week of Advent, and there is genocide in the land where Jesus was born. And here we are this morning, and I'm somehow supposed to do the thing that pastors do. I'm supposed to do the thing that pastors do every week. I'm supposed to say, in the words of my professor, Dr. Kim Wagner, quote, one true thing about God, and then sit down. I'm supposed to proclaim the good news of great joy that the shepherds tell everyone on their way home from meeting the infant God, that a child is born in Bethlehem, and that child will save the world. Amidst one of the biggest moral failures of our lifetime, it's my task, and it's the task of every Christian, to turn to God's presence and providence in every time, in every place, for every person, even now. Good news of great joy, God's providence, her immediate, intimate care for all of us. in light of this great moral failure in the city of Bethlehem, this year all public celebrations of Christmas are canceled. I'm sure many of you saw how a local Lutheran church in Gaza put an infant Jesus amidst concrete and wooden rubble. And since I don't live in Palestine, and because I don't pretend to know what life is like living under occupation, or what life is like as a child orphaned by bombs, walking alone to nowhere, doomed to die from hunger or disease, along with over 1 million other people displaced by an occupying army, I'm going to turn it over to the minister from the Church of the Nativity who placed the infant God in the rubble. The minister, Dr. Munther Isaac, said the following. It's impossible to celebrate when there is a massacre, a genocide, taking place in Gaza with our people. And so the idea was to send a message to the world, but also a message to ourselves. A message to the world that this is what Christmas looks like in Palestine. This is what Christmas looks like in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. Children being pulled out of the rubble. Families being displaced with their homes destroyed, while the world is celebrating Christmas at the birthplace of Jesus. This is what Christmas looks like. So in all of my own desperate reaches on how to tell you that there is somehow God in the midst of this great moral failure, this is what I wound up grasping. I hope it's enough. What I grasped is a question. Isn't this what Christmas looks like every year? Like, if we really take a look at it, isn't this what Christmas looks like? Because it's not only the consumerist hellscape or the death grip of capitalism that keeps us distracted from the heart of the Christmas story every year. Our distraction also lies in our failure to see the totality of what God with us means. Our distraction is our refusal to hold together the tension and the overwhelm of the true consequences of God choosing to be born into human flesh at all, let alone the rubble into which he was born. God made a choice to so severely humble God's self as to take on a temporary fleshy life so that maybe we can just begin to consider that God too breaks when we break. Our distraction is in the fallacy that this breaking only exists at Christ's crucifixion by the hands of a violent occupation that also tried to make synonymous their rulers with gods. That death sentence was already on Jesus. Jesus was born into death. And there it is, God's presence. It's that close. It's really that close. Birth and death are that close as the womb is to the unborn infant God, as close as the decay of bodies is to the soil, as close as I find myself to the edge of giving up on all of us in light of our heinous moral failure and in light of my own personal folly, of which I am intimately aware. God's just that close. God is always that close. It's terrifying. It's horrific. For most people, most of the time, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable because the consequences of a God so intimately knowledgeable of our failure and our pain, those consequences are so far-reaching that we cannot conceive of those consequences. A God so deeply loving that she would humble herself so severely into a life and death that many of us would consider humiliating. Why would God leave their heavenly throne? Isn't that sort of humiliating? But we project humiliation onto God's humility because that sort of love is a love we would never really consider. That sort of humility comes to us as a threat to our ego, so grave that we intentionally misname it as humiliation. It's hard for us to consider a God willing to be born into and die from such human failure. But that's God. And that's God's choice. God with us. Our shepherds shout to all who will hear this good news of great joy, God with us. But Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The word treasured, from the Greek, to preserve a thing from perishing or being lost, to remember, to obey, coming from two root words, the first word soon meaning with or denoting a union, and the second word tereo, to take care of, to guard, not as in a military fortress, but in terms of keeping an eye on things. The second word, pondered, from the Greek symbolo, meaning to throw or bring together, to confer with oneself, to meet. To meet, meaning to encounter even in a hostile sense, to fight with, to dispute, to join. Made by two words, soon again, denoting a union, but also it can imply possession, which is why so many translations say Mary kept these words. The second word from which pondered comes is balo, to let go of a thing without caring where it falls, to give over one's care uncertain about the result, to pour out, to put into, to insert. Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept these words from perishing or being lost. Mary remembered these words of good news. Mary obeyed these words. Obey in the Greek meaning to listen, obedience meaning to have the ears. Mary met these words in a hostile sense. She fought with these words. She fought with this good news of great joy. Mary also joined these words together in union. Mary, in her heart, integrated these words into her own heart's fabric. This year, for me at least, treasuring and pondering is more accessible than the shepherd's proclamation. I'm fighting with the good news today. I am desperately grasping onto it in hopes that it doesn't perish or get lost under the rubble. And so I yield some time back to the minister, Dr. Munther Isaac of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, where Christmas celebrations are canceled. A field anchor asked him, "This is usually a season of celebrations, but also a season of hope. Is there hope left?" The minister answered, "We have hope in our faith. We have hope. The Christmas story actually gives us hope. The fact that Jesus was born among the occupied, this is what happened 2,000 years ago. And so going back to this manger setting, it tells us that baby Jesus is in solidarity with those who are suffering, with those who are oppressed. So in this Christmas, we find our own source of hope is our faith in a just God and in our solidarity with one another. And I hope that this message gets to the world," the minister says, "that we are united in Palestine, and sadly right now we are united in our pain. If Jesus is to be born today, he would be born under the rubble in Gaza with those who are suffering. And the Magi and the shepherds would come, and they would search for Jesus in the midst of the rubble." In other interviews, Dr. Isaac has said, "This is what Christmas looks like to us, the solidarity of God. The message that God is with us even in our pain. God is under the rubble in Gaza. He is with the frightened and the refugees. He is in the operating room. This is our consolation." Dr. Isaac also reminds us, "In these difficult times, let us comfort ourselves with God's presence amidst pain, even amid death. For Jesus is no stranger to pain, arrest, torture, and death. He walks with us in our pain." So while Christmas celebrations are canceled, Christmas prayers are not canceled. And maybe we can look at the image of Jesus under the rubble, and we see hope and light coming out of destruction. And so before I invite us to breathe again and rest, I want to bring this closer to us, because it's very easy to get lost and overwhelmed, rightfully so, by global atrocities, by the grave and violent sins of empire, and to forget that we, too, are members of this global society, that God came to us not only to flip the tables of the moneylenders in the temple, but to turn over our own personal tables when we find ourselves, as we do, forgetting that that temple belongs to God. It's also easy for us in a church and in two greater denominations that call themselves progressive to focus pretty intently on corporate sin, that is, bigger systemic collective sin, and to sort of breeze over our intimate and personal sin. Which brings me to the second reason this sermon has been hard for me. And I want to be clear, I'm not equating the two reasons, they're just two separate reasons that made this hard. It's been hard and is hard because I find myself in a very particular position amid the fracture on Tabs Council in our congregation, and truthfully, the fracture that I've felt in my own concept of truth. The failure of my own ability to hold all at once the tension between where I was a year ago here preaching during Advent and where I am now this year today preaching during Advent. My failure to hold together the tension between two different ways through this. First, the convenient way of denial, and second, the inconvenient way of confession, repentance, acceptance of my role in the world's story, and of course, healing. I've noticed that nominally progressive Christians have this tendency to point to grave systemic sins like white supremacy and attribute them to a nameless system divorced from our own embodied day-to-day lives. And so I'm going to invite us into a place where maybe we can begin to attempt to make this good news of great joy personal, to make these failures personal, and to challenge you to personally ponder what it means to confess a God born directly into violence. This challenge requires us to stretch our imagination far and wide, but also to take that imagination and apply it to ourselves directly. Because God became flesh to save the whole world, yes. But remember, too, that we are a part of that world. So come with me on this thought experiment. Say we don't have the understanding, but say we have the imagination necessary to stop genocide in its tracks. Say we have the imagination necessary to abolish prisons and policing. Say we have the imagination to cease our addiction to overconsumption and under-compassion. If we believe in a God that moves mountains, a God through whom we can slay giants, if we believe in a God that breaks the chains of empire, surely we can have the imagination to do all these things, and as Jesus later reminds us, even greater things. But this is my question. Do we confess too in a God that touches the untouchable and heals them even when we have decided that we are the untouchable? Untouchable due to our shame, sure, but also untouchable due to our pride. Do we confess to a savior that can break through the bulwarks of our own egos to touch our hearts that we try to twist and warp and claim are somehow untouchable, either by shame or pride, by the scandalous grace of Jesus Christ, a savior who not only turns upside down empire, but who casts down the mighty within our own hearts? Do we confess, too, that the Savior who came to heal the hurt we carry with us, the hurt that, if left unaddressed, can and will hurt other people? Not only people we have never met who are suffering oceans away, but people in our own house, in our own family, Do we have the imagination necessary to truly confess that this is the God we follow? The imagination necessary to conceive of a God who is safe enough, who's safe enough for us to come clean with all the harm we've done, and then trust that in our coming clean, we won't be sent to our end, but be freed to live a life, a more honest life. This honesty made possible by God's grace and God's refusal to abandon us, this is what allows us to be in community together. This trust that we are more than our failure, that our failure isn't the end of our story, is what keeps us able to practice loving each other. But when we aren't honest about our failures, we make it that much more difficult for us to identify the moment when grace meets us in all our folly. It's that much harder to practice love if we instead cling to our need to be right and fool ourselves into thinking our righteousness comes from within us instead of from God's grace. In desperately trying to figure out how to talk about God's providence today, I turned to the person I know who is distinctly obsessed with the topic, one of my TAs at Princeton. I was running past him my understanding of God's providence, God's care, as far as I can grasp it. I talked about how I think providence might just be perpetual grace, this constant grace in the face of everything we get wrong over and over, streams of mercy, never ceasing, as the hymn goes. My TA said this, maybe we need to accept our failure. Maybe that's when we start to obey and listen and say, I can't do this on my own. I need help to do this. Maybe failure is what you need to encounter grace. We need help, y'all. If we are to be a community of spiritual healing, if we are going to cultivate the type of resilience necessary for us to address the corporate sin in our city and the world that our new vision invites us to address, we need to start accepting our failure, because that is the moment when grace finds us. If we are to heal, we have to be honest about where our wounds are. Not a single one of us is beyond the bounds of redemption if we so choose. That too is good news. So what are we waiting for? Too often we cling to our need to be right and righteous, disbelieving that we too are called into a love so humble and so vulnerable that it liberates us from the need to somehow embody perpetual righteousness. If we confess to follow a God that scatters the proud and lifts up the lowly, then why wait any longer to surrender to God's compassionate scattering of the pride in our own hearts? Because this too is God's grace. God's grace extends to every last corner of our being. God's grace gives us the opportunity to heal. God's vulnerability and grace writes on our hearts a new story to ponder. Good news of great joy. Grace finds us, God finds us in the depths of our failure. God, who is a great light, shining upon us in darkness, which the darkness will never overcome. And so while Christmas celebrations are canceled in Bethlehem, Christmas prayers are not. So let's pray together with our breath. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts. Sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Amen. Now is the time in our service where we're invited to share as we are able to help support Tabernacles. We would not exist as a community without the generous support that people give. We'll be passing plates around. You can put donations in the basket, or to give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321. Or visit tabunited.org/contribute and just indicate if you have a particular place you want the donation to be made. Also, this is a time where you're invited to put prayer cards into the basket for them to be shared later, or any written joys or concerns for Pastor Katie to share. It's also an opportunity for you to fill out the visitor card in the pew and to let us know that you're here. If you're online on Zoom, you can put a prayer request or joy or concern into the chat, and that will be shared also later in the service. Thank you.
shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Joyful, joyful all you nations rise. Jesus, the light of the world. Join the triumph of the skies. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Shine bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore you. Sun above, let the clouds of sin and sadness drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
Prayer of dedication written in the bulletin. Incarnating God, we are listening, looking, and pondering all that you have for us this season. Yet we know that this season is not just about us, for you are coming for all of the earth. With that in mind, this Advent, we present these gifts and the gifts of ourselves, as you did long ago and will do again this year. May you be made incarnate in our lives. Amen.
You may be seated. Going to enter now into time of more intentional prayer. We lift up any joys, any concerns, burdens we're carrying, testimonies, struggles, anything that's on our hearts. And so if you didn't have a chance to write something down and you would like to voice something out loud, please feel free to come up here and share from your heart if you would like. And folks on Zoom, you're welcome also to share your prayer in the chat, and I will be able to see that and read that out loud. So let's come together and hear the prayers in our community. From Elizabeth Kingfield is asking prayers for my friend Mallory's mother, who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer this week. And prayers also for my friend Sanj's father, who had heart surgery this week and is in critical condition. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I want to pray for my mom and my family and friends, and for me and my husband, Marquise, Williams. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Did I get that right on that one? All right. Also a prayer from Verona. Please pray for Tom, who's having unexplained health issues. I pray the doctors will be able to find what is going on. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayer request from Lauren, thanking God as my stress is minimized in the closing of the semester. And asking for prayers for my sister, who is simultaneously filled with stress as her finals begin. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayer from Amy Upchurch. I ask for prayers for myself and others who are seeing family at Christmas who aren't always kind and supportive. I hope everyone can find at least a moment of peace and love this Christmas season. I also want to lift up anyone who has lost someone in the last year and is facing their first Christmas without them. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Few prayers on Zoom. HB is sharing prayers and thanks for your words, Taylor. God's grace is through our humble and vulnerable moments, a reminder I needed. Thanks for shining the light of truth. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And then a prayer from Heather Bargeron, a prayer of thanksgiving for the small act of love and resistance to the powers of violence that happened yesterday and every third Saturday at Tab's community meal. A particular prayer for a guest, Jonathan, whose partner of 7 years, Molly, died 2 weeks ago. God surround him in comfort and in love. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Bukola is asking for prayers for my brother, who has an important certification exam on Tuesday, that God will be with him as he prepares and that he will do well. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Laura Jordan is asking prayers. Please keep anyone who is suffering in any and many ways during this season in your special prayers. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Those are the prayers that have come in on Zoom. Does anyone want to share verbally prayer this morning? Kathleen, please.
Does this, okay, that, sorry, I wasn't sure how close to go. At the end of October, I got an email kind of out of the blue from the bone marrow registry that I'd signed up for in college, saying that I matched with a patient and that they'd be in further contact about whether that medical team decided to go forward with transplant or not. And the other day, I got another phone call, like more contact from them, saying that that patient's team had decided that they weren't ready for transplant, that that wasn't the right thing to do. But I've just been carrying that mystery person around with me, I think, for the past month or so, just like wondering about them and wondering where they are, because I've had a couple close people in my community back home in Ohio that have needed transplant. And just that's a really, really hard limbo to be in, to be waiting and wondering what's gonna happen and whether there's a donor, and even if there is, whether it's the right choice to make. So I just am wanting to lift up anybody who's waiting in that limbo on a transplant list this Christmas, and all their loved ones and all their doctors. And may they have the wisdom and the discernment that they need to make the right decisions and to deal with the aftermath, whatever that means. So blessings to all of those people, everybody in that situation.
Thank you for sharing that, Kathleen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Take a moment just in the silence of our hearts to lift up any other prayers that we're holding. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I don't think we need our bulletins unless you want to look at the lyrics for the closing song or coming. You're welcome to bring your bulletins if you'd like, but I think we'll be good without them as well. Invite us into the circle now as we sing together. Hearts in prayer. God, Emmanuel, you are with us. We thank you for the reminder, the word from Taylor this morning of where to find you and the call to stand in solidarity with you, with your people, and all whom you love. God, we thank you for that call this morning, even in the midst of all that is hard that we're holding. We thank you that you are a God who comes and is coming and is with us. We pray, God, all the prayers that have been lifted up this morning, we lift them up to you. All concerns or prayers for those who are grieving, for those who are suffering, for those who are sick. We also lift up to you our joys, our celebrations for semesters ending, for finals being over, for newness and rest too. That is such a gift and available to us, particularly if we can support one another in taking that rest. God, we thank you. We thank you for all your gifts and for this community, for the folks standing next to us, for the ways that this community extends out and ripples out into the world. We lift up to you all those who we're holding today. And God, we thank you for Jesus who taught us to pray, and we pray the prayer he taught us in whatever version we know and what's comfortable to us. Our parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
I invite you now to join me in our closing song together, There Is More Love Somewhere, an African-American hymn reminding us that love and peace and joy is in the future, will follow us when we're with God.
There is more love. More peace somewhere. more peace, there is more peace. Somewhere, I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more peace. There is more joy. There is more joy. Somewhere, there is more joy. Somewhere, I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more joy.
Amen. Amen. Go in peace, beloveds, to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace to love and serve one another. Go knowing that God is with you and that God is for you. In the name of God, our Creator, in Jesus Christ's name, the rebel, and in our holy advocate, Holy Spirit. Amen.